The following program was produced by an independent community producer. The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of the ECAT staff or board of directors.
There's a storm across the valley. The clouds are rolling in. The afternoon is heavy on your shoulders. There's a truck out on the four lane, a mile or more away. The whining of his wheels just makes it colder.
Welcome to Community Forum. I'm Priscilla Almquist Olson, your host. Today is May 10th, 2023. And this program is a continuing program in the series Introduction to Easton's Clergy. And today we are welcoming and certainly happy to have Father Bradley Metz of Holy Cross and the Director of Christian Education at Holy Cross Catholic Church on Purchase Street in Southeastern, Lindsay Franzoni. Welcome, Father Brad. Welcome, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. And we're so interested and excited to have you here and to learn about your ministry and what Easton can expect in the future from Holy Cross. But let's start with your background, Father Brad. Tell me where you're from, how you became interested in the ministry, and a little bit of your background.
Sure. So my name is Father Bradley Metz. I go by Father Brad. Most people in the parish know me as Father Brad. I'm a priest in the Congregation of Holy Cross, which is a religious order in the Catholic Church. So diocesan priests stay in a particular area, geographical area, so priests in the Diocese of Fall River, which we're a part of, or the Archdiocese of Boston. But I'm in the Congregation of Holy Cross, which is an international religious community, so based out of South Bend, Indiana, because that's our oldest institution, the University of Notre Dame here in the United States. I did grow up in South Bend, Indiana, which is where Notre Dame is. I grew up thinking I was going to be a doctor. My dad had some pretty serious health issues as I was growing up, especially in middle school and high school. So I went to Notre Dame pursuing pre-med. And in the first year, during the first year, decided that wasn't working out so well, but I loved theology classes, religion classes for the first time. I went to public schools because my dad was an elementary school principal and in the public system. So got into theology classes, thinking about it more. And so that's when my dad coined it. I went from pre-med to pre-priest. So I was able to, continue on in theology, graduated with a BA in theology from Notre Dame in 1996, and then went to our religious novitiate for training in the religious life, came back and did a graduate studies at the University of Notre Dame, graduating in 2001, and was ordained a priest in 2002. Spent time in parishes, campus ministry at the University of Portland out in Oregon and at the University of Notre Dame, in residence life, and then have been out here in Holy Cross, first as the associate pastor from 2015 to 2017, and then have been the pastor at Holy Cross the last 8 years. Great to be with you.
So you've actually been here for 10 years?
8 years, so 2 years as the associate, and now just finishing up 6 years as a pastor.
Okay.
And I think, as far as everything's going, that my community leadership has said that I could stay for another 3, so I'm excited about that.
Uh-huh, wonderful. So tell me, Lindsay, a little bit about your background, where you're from, and so forth.
So I am a resident of Easton. My family and I have been here for about 15 years. We are parishioners of Holy Cross. We've been parishioners for 22 years. I was married at Holy Cross 21 years ago, and my children have had all their sacraments there. And now I've been the director of religious education for almost a year.
Wonderful. And what do you enjoy most about that?
I love seeing the children receiving their sacraments and growing in their faith and building a community. It's funny when I see them at the grocery store or at Target and they're like, oh my gosh, Mrs. Franzoni doesn't live at the church. So it's lovely to have build that sense of community inside the church and outside around town.
So, Father Brad, tell me a little bit about what Holy Cross offers the community.
Well, Holy Cross is one of two Catholic churches in Easton. So Immaculate Conception on Main Street is the oldest of the two. Holy Cross Parish was founded in 1966 as a parish, an offspring of Immaculate Conception for South Easton. The church was built in 1967, and initially a lot of things evolved. The religious education classes and services were over at Stonehill College. And then when the church was built and the parish center was built in 2001, it really kind of became the central place of the worshiping community. Holy Cross is a pretty vibrant, young, active parish. A lot of the founding members are just making their way into eternal life, and their children and grandchildren, and some have great-grandchildren, form the community of Holy Cross. So they've always been very excited to be part of that community. The community does everything from a big welcome back picnic in September to kind of talk about all the various ministries at the parish, to having the Holly Fair in Easton, I think, is pretty well known in early December. I think a lot of different organizations. We just held a meeting for, I can't remember the name of the youth organization that came from outside, but we host blood drives from the Red Cross. We've had certain groups in Easton. The Mobile Home Park down on Purchase Street has their annual kind of meeting of what needs to be done for that at Holy Cross. So we try and be as open to the community and having it be a place of, you know, meeting space and kind of coming together in addition to our own community that has activities there as well.
Wonderful. That's something I didn't know. So if people are looking for meeting space and there's a critical need for that, especially among organizations which are voluntary groups and so forth, it's always and then many of your parishioners are involved in these organizations, aren't they?
They are, and that's usually how we get involved to be the host. Now, we do as much as we can. The building's primarily for our community, and so as pastor, I always have to kind of navigate, you know, maintaining the building and the facility, and is this going to be too much wear and tear on the space? So a lot of the meetings are pretty, you know, adults coming together for, you know, coffee and socializing and stuff. So it's not, but we got to have to make sure the utilities are paid for and things, snow removal and stuff like that. So there is a small fee usually for outside groups to meet. However, it's usually a pretty popular place because people keep coming back. So that's good.
Well, I know that I'm always attending the Holly Festival in December, and that's great space downstairs in your sort of fellowship hall.
Yeah, we call it the Parish Center.
Parish Center, yeah. And the building is beautiful, and it's so many rooms, and it really facilitates a growing ministry, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a very nice facility. After being at a few other parishes, it has wonderful classroom space. I think we have 6 double classrooms that can be turned into 12 separate classrooms. We have a large central meeting space that we just simply call the Great Room. Seats about 200 people, I think, with round tables. We have an inside smaller chapel that we use sometimes for daily masses, aside from being in the main church. And there's a kind of a library / conference room. And then the space that the church had initially was in the basement of the church, and that's still available, where we have some small classrooms for younger grades and some meeting space for the youth ministry. There's a full-service kitchen down in the basement of the church, and plenty of restrooms and facilities. So.
Yeah, it's quite a building. And Lindsay, in that configuration of rooms and the availability of so much space must really lend itself to your programs.
Yeah, it's an excellent space for all the classes. We're able to offer in-person classes again. Thankfully, we're outside of the COVID restrictions. So we have in-person classes for first grade through 10th grade. And we do still offer some online courses where the scheduling is difficult for people. But then we also offer family faith-based classes where families can get together and build community within each other and get to really build upon their relationships and help the parents teach their own children. Having so much space has just been fabulous, especially with the kitchen there and able to offer food and meals together. It's been lovely.
So you're really incorporating the family with the children's education.
Yes, yeah, that is a growing part of our religious education. It's our second year doing our Families and Faith program, and it's been very big welcome, and it's growing every year, so we're excited about that.
Oh, that's great. And I'm sure the families are grateful that they have some of the education that they need so that they can help at home to perpetuate what the kids have learned in your classes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? And go ahead, you were going to say something?
I was just going to say, it's becoming more and more important, I think, to do education for the parents, because many of these parents in their 30s and early 40s have not grown up as their parents and grandparents did. In the Catholic Church, many of their grandparents and great-grandparents went to Catholic schools, had religion class, had a very steeped, whether they liked it or not, education in the Catholic faith, where the younger parents these days, a lot of them have not. I've discovered that the educational system here in Massachusetts, specifically in Easton, is a very good public educational system, and I have no bias against that. I went to public schools. But we are learning that then the faith component becomes not as well known, not as understood. And, you know, it's a very big challenge because we're asking kids to ask their parents about things, to take it home and talk more about it with your parents. And sometimes the parents don't know much more than the children do. And so it's been very difficult to try and help educate the parents along with the children, especially when sports become such a focal point.
Yes, and that brings me to my next question, because I think Sundays was supposed to be a day of rest. I know that's what when I was growing up, you went to church and then you came home and mother had a nice big roast in the oven and family came over for dinner and it was a day of rest and family communication and enjoyment of each other. But today, parents have to make a choice. Do they want their kids who are participating in sports to be able to enjoy that or go to church? So what's going on here? I think, you know, there are sufficient Saturday hours when sports could happen, or they could happen in the afternoon on Sunday. Why is it a morning intrusion into church life? I think something has to change. What do you think, Father Brad?
Yeah, I've learned over the time, you know, back when I was in school, I graduated high school in 1992, much like some of these parents who have kids in elementary school and high school now, even though I've learned from my friends from college that I could have kids coming out of college, which is crazy. But back when I was in school, you know, people were mainly in one sport or seasonal sports, so maybe a fall sport and a winter sport. And that was about it. So you had practices and games, which were all Monday through Friday. And there was no such thing as club sports. They're just coming into the frame of mind. Where now, sports is sports and all sports. So we have club sports, we have school sports, we have additionally, maybe if your kid is really talented, an additional third tier, I forget what it's called. So it's just so time consuming. And Priscilla, you use the word parents choosing. I hope parents truly are choosing to do this and not feeling like they're just going along with the Joneses in order to get their kids into athletics because that's what everybody else is doing. Because priorities do need to happen. You know, do you want your child to focus so much and so often on something that's really gonna serve them only through 12th grade, maybe into social sports beyond high school and college? Or kind of continuing to make a strong foundation of social activities with other kids outside of sports, learning about different generations in your own family, spending time with your generations, stuff that they will take with them for the rest of their lives. So I don't think parents are looking and paying attention to the broader, bigger, longer picture. And it's just staying so focused on, yes, it's good community building. Yes, it's good knowledge of skills. But when all the eggs are in one basket, I really get concerned for the future of people, not only here in Easton, but in the United States, I think, in general.
Mm, very well put and agreed. So it's the interesting thing is that, you know, you get to be a certain age, and this team sports that you one enjoyed when one was young, they're not available anymore to people. It's even in their 40s. I know my son, he's going to be 47 next month, and he does play basketball, in a league in California where he lives. But, he's always kept up. But that's very unusual because most of the time, your body says, can't do it anymore. And you can't do the cross country anymore. You can't do the high jump and all of those things. So we need to start preparing kids for life and longevity. And I think one of the things that's very tragic is not just missing out on the religious education and religious practice, but also the relationship that they have with their grandparents. And, those grandparents aren't going to be there forever. And so I think it's important that those children have good memories, good times, that they can share with each other about the grandparents, have good feelings, and good role models, too. And I think that takes time, and time means sharing on Sundays. Hmm. So I don't know what it takes, but maybe the schools, it has to start with the school system, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I don't know about all the history, but I know when I first moved here in 2015, Father Jim Fenstermaker was the pastor of Holy Cross, and he and other clergy from Easton got together and went to one of the school board meetings or the town hall meetings with the Board of Selectmen and were really concerned about some of this back in 2013, 14, 15, somewhere in there, about wanting to kind of keep the weekend times, for services for whatever denomination, able to have people to take part. And surprisingly, I think they had a lot of pushback, and it wasn't up to the decision of the school board. It wasn't up to the decision of any entity, the selectmen, but to the parents. And so they put the onus back on the parents. And I totally agree. I mean, if parents want things to change, because they do complain it to us a lot about, oh, my kids are so involved, I wish things were differently. I said, well, then make different choices. Come together with parents and demand that things don't be scheduled on Sunday mornings from 8 to 10 or 11. Demand that things don't be scheduled on other times and time frames when you want to come together for other things. It's the only way change is going to happen. It can't come all from the clergy. It can't come from the school board or the town board of selectmen. But if parents get involved and make decisions, that's how things will get changed.
And it's not that we're not supportive of the sports, because the Easton Youth Softball uses our field the Monday through Friday, or actually I think it might be 6 days a week, that we provide the field space for the entire league. The Boy Scouts use our facilities for all their meetings. So we are very encouraging of the youth activities, but it is, again, just making the choices in the family that we want them to be part of their religious life as well.
Yes, and we have a Jewish temple in Easton too, mm-hmm. So they should be chiming in on Saturdays what hours are best for sports for their services. It's a growing problem. It's a problem of the 21st century, and also one thing that's missing is that there are so many more sports now. When I was growing up and attending Oliver Ames, I played basketball, I played field hockey, again, seasonal, field hockey in the fall, and track and field in the fall and spring, and then softball in the spring, right? I said that? Mm-hmm. And so it's different now because there are all these sports I never even heard of, like, give me a few.
Lacrosse?
That's it. Lacrosse. Who ever heard of lacrosse? And then, of course, soccer. Cross country came in not so recently to the track and field program. What else do we have? We have other funny names.
Yeah, and it's not just, I think, sports. The number of sports, but the different types. Like, I didn't understand that there were school sports, and then club sports, and then traveling teams even. And not mm-hmm. all of those necessarily are synonymous. So if you have a child needing to be at practices and games for a school sport, and practices and games for a club sport, and practices and games for a traveling league, I mean, no wonder why the kids and families are stressed out. I mean, and that's a lot of time and energy and money to be put into something that's really not going to serve a child. I mean, yes, I still swim. I go to the Y here in Easton. I'm grateful for the Y here in Easton, and I swam in high school. But I don't do it with a team. I don't do it competitively. I do it for health. And so some of the experiences they have on these sports teams are great for their longevity and their lives of maintaining their own personal health or encouraging the health of their families and children later on. But that's about it. So how much time and energy and money does it take to have a child learn that that's important? And then what are they not learning is important because of all the focus being on one particular aspect of life? That's a big concern.
Yeah, it surely is. So tell me, Father Brad, what would you say to people in our audience who are viewing this today? What would you say to attract them to come to Holy Cross and check you out? What would be your pitch?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, faith. I mean, I think if you have an inkling that God is calling you to go a little bit deeper in your faith life, I mean, we are the Roman Catholic Church, so that's a particular denomination in Christianity. But we're known for our community. We're known for being a welcoming place, known for various activities, some of which we've mentioned. We do have coffee and donuts, pastries, you know, monthly, and different groups of the parish host that. We try and have a fall event to kind of celebrate our community. And we've had game watches, you know, when the Patriots play certain times, we try and host a fall game watch. You know, so that when we come together on a regular basis, when we need to come together for any kind of unfortunate tragedies or times of concern, you know, I know when 9/11 happened, I wasn't here, but somewhere else, that the community really became the focal point of hope and promise for the future. And, you know, I think that that is only a place of familiarity and coming together in a time like that when people are associated together and know that that's a common place for community. But, you know, the community is great. Oftentimes when people come for, you know, family weddings or funerals or sacraments, like we just had confirmation and First Holy Communions, that they find it to be a welcoming place. They're like, oh, wow, the music, you know, the people here, the facilities, you know, it's just a very welcoming place. And I found that to be the case for my 8 years there so far.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here, Lindsay, for your contribution to Holy Cross's educational program and the families, and Father Brad, for your leadership and dedication and your obvious joy of being the pastor of Holy Cross.
Thank you, Priscilla.
So thank you so much. And those people who are viewing this, what an interesting and stimulating few minutes we've enjoyed here. I hope that you see that also, and that maybe you will be inclined to check out Holy Cross. So tell us in closing, what are the hours of worship?
So Holy Cross services are on the weekend, 4 p.m. Vigil Mass on Saturdays, 8:30 and 10 on Sunday mornings. And at times we have a Sunday evening service when confirmation program is scheduled.
Okay, sounds wonderful. So until next time, Priscilla Almquist Olson, be well. And hopefully you have enjoyed this program and learned a great deal about Holy Cross Church, located on Purchase Street in Southeastern Massachusetts. All the best. Thank you for joining us today.
There's a storm across the valley. The clouds are rolling in.